Live. Catch the podcast on kaya959.co.za.
All right, Ntabiseng is here. Unfortunately, we're a little bit late. Ntabiseng Tubazana is here. As you know, you are more than welcome to send in all your legal questions. This is the time when all your legal advice is free. I would take this opportunity if I were you. 086-000-00959. You can send those voice notes as well on 063-688-0959. Hello, Ntabiseng. Welcome again.
Good evening. Nice to be back.
Okay. You want us to talk about unopposed?
No, opposed divorces.
Versus opposed divorces.
Yes. So last week we kind of touched on it, but then we had to deal with calls and voice notes. So we never really got into the nitty-gritties of everything. So the unopposed, I think we kind of finished everything. Mm-hmm. We dealt with how people come to settlements and then it goes to court and everything is well and good. Mm. The opposed ones are whereby it gets more expensive. In fact, it gets ridiculously expensive because people feel that they can throw in what we call interlocutory proceedings in the midst of all of this. So opposed divorces is whereby Ntabiseng, you know, poor Mdibeli, he's going to be the example.
Yes, we're going to use him again.
So Ntabiseng and Mdibeli have been married, and now that he's heading to divorce, and then the institute a summons is then issued by Ntabiseng. And then she cites in her particulars of claim, I'm divorcing Mudibedi because he cheated, he doesn't sleep at home, he doesn't buy food for the kids, all the things you can think of. And then we call them irreconcilable differences. Right? And then it gives Mudibedi the opportunity to respond between 10 to 20 days for that summons. In his response, he is supposed to give what we call notice of intention to defend. And then he must give what we call his plea and counter claim. So his plea is answering to my allegations that are in the particulars of claim, and then his counter claim is now his reasons why, if the divorce is going to be granted, it should actually be granted on these facts, not the facts that Ntabiseng has put before
the court. Okay, so let's give it an example.
Yeah.
So I say Mudibedi's a dog. Mudibedi's a dog. Why is Mudibedi a dog?
Yeah.
Mudibedi comes home late. And when he comes home late, things have changed.
Yeah.
The man is just always tired.
Yes.
He never chats with us. He arrives late. We don't have family time. Likadi weekend, the man doesn't have time for us. That's my reason for leaving him. He can come back and say, yes, because this is now my work. Can he come back and say
he
that?
He can.
To say, yes, I'm not home. Yes, I arrive late. Yes, I'm not there the weekend. Yes, I'm tired and grumpy. But I'm tired and grumpy and unavailable because I am working.
Yes.
Not because I am cheating.
Yes.
And it's not personal.
Yeah. Yeah.
What is... Then what? Then what happens with that kind of response?
So now you, as the plaintiff, have the opportunity to reply to that claim in your own plea to address all those things. That
I must come back. Come back.
Hey, you only the plaintiff.
So if my response to that is, so what? I don't care. I still am unhappy about that.
Then that's what it is. That's what it is.
Then that's what it is.
Yeah.
Then he says no. You're being unfair. We have children. It's not a thing. So get over yourself. We are doing this together. I have to work for the children.
Ironically, this is more or less similar to the case I was busy with.
Tell me.
So the situation is that the parties were married customarily. But not within the bounds of the country. They were married outside of the country. Now, in that particular country, there's three types of marriages. There is a normal civil one that we know. Then there is the customary unsolemnized.
What is that?
It wasn't done by somebody like how
no Abel official. Mukit,
yeah, no official. Okay. That's the word. Well, no official was involved in that. And then there is the, did I say solemnized?
Yeah.
And then there's the unsolemnized
one. Okay.
So now, with these two marriages, the wife. Can, not automatic,
which
but
two,
can.
Which two?
The civil and the solemnized.
Got you.
The wife can have some kind of right over the property. Obviously, there's antenuptial contracts, all the things we've discussed in the past. But now, with this third category, the unsolemnized one, the wife has no rights
in
the marriage. So upon divorce, she likely can go out with the utensils, but over the property that is gained within that marriage. You know, and also another downside is that if that particular marriage is not registered, unlike in our country, where it's registered or unregistered,
it's
it doesn't
still a
matter.
Marriage,
there, it is not really recognized. You'll be
so
deemed.
It's your word. Like, it's you guys say you are married. Good for you. We can't help you.
Yes. So now, the parties were living there. Then they eventually moved here, and then.
What happens when the jurisdiction changes?
That's where this case became very interesting. Mm. And the presiding officer wanted so much to deal with it, but it wasn't the grounds for him to, because it came in front of him on an urgent application. Mm. So the parties had, the wife instituted divorce in a lower court first. Mm. And then obviously we opposed, because the husband, in terms of Zimbabwean customary law, when you pay something called kupuru, it is a symbolism of divorce. Mm-hmm. There has never been a dispute that the marriage was dissolved by virtue of this particular payment.
Kupuru king, ke ha ke busetsa
mahadi? Basically, something like that.
Back.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so patala.
That does it have to be equal what was paid?
No.
It's just me saying thanks, but no thanks.
Yeah.
Monkey.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm sending her back to sender.
Yes.
Okay.
And that was done. And it's never been disputed.
And someone received that money.
Correct. Even the wife acknowledged receipt of this particular thing.
If it had not been that, what would have happened?
That's what this case was all about. Mm. And if it does, you know, get to its finalization, because like I was saying, there's interlocutory proceedings that happen in opposed divorces. So
kupuru, wait.
Yes.
Who's paying kupuru?
The husband.
So he pays some more?
Yes. Whatever it is. When
and
they
kupuru
get married,
is to say what?
The marriage is over.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
That's so interesting.
It was very interesting.
So the kupuru is to say, thanks, guys, thank you. But take again.
Yeah.
That is so interesting. Just roughly, just give me a sense. Like, how much would this kupuru be?
I think it was something like a
guys,
cow
I want
and
my
sheep
I want
or something
my
kupuru.
Like that. I didn't like about the kupuru. I guess nothing like about the kuburiak. Okay, but harafi. About the kuburiak. If I had known, I wonder if you say, this is why we like you. Then I gave about the kuburiak. How long this will have to How soon or early can this kupuru come?
That's the thing that we don't know about the intimate details of Zimbabwean customary law. How long or how short the marriage
is. Guys, help us. Those who know, explain how this thing works. I think someone owes me something. 086-00-59. You can send a voice note on 063-678. Guys, this is serious. What's the matter? You guys are laughing. This is very serious. Just someone help me, please. Ne? If you know how kupuru works, please help us. Let us help other children.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Ntabi Seng Dubazana is here. 086-00-00959. We can take those voice notes on 063-688-0959. You know, people are laughing. But I mean, guys, this is very, very interesting and very serious. So I am curious about, since we are talking about this case, acknowledgement of this couple saying we are divorced customarily, did it affect what happened at the civil court?
Yes, significantly. So the history, basically, because we started from this matter from the beginning, it was in the lower court, and then it was challenged on the basis that this kupuru was paid, and basically there is no marriage for this court to
because
hear.
Because kupuru essentially is divorce.
Yes.
in their culture.
Correct. Mm. And then it went through two different attorneys and eventually got to this current attorney, and then they withdrew that action, and we thought, okay. But then it was instituted again now in the High Court. Mm. After it got instituted into the High Court, it's still opposed on the very same basis. Mm. And then an urgent application was brought by the wife, I'll quote unquote the wife, stating that you cannot dispose of things because we're still married and this matter is still in court. So the judge,
the wife was opposing stuff.
She was saying that the husband mustn't sell things,
stuff because they're still married.
Correct.
Even though she took gubur.
That's correct.
Okay.
So now the premise of this application is that even though they were married outside of the country, the husband, according to the husband, to the wife, was domiciled in the country. Therefore, the South African
should recognize it here.
Correct. So now the presiding officer raised very interesting points. He said,
"Mara unkile gubur."
Yes. That was amongst the things
because
that he cited.
Because kuburu is a Zimbabwean custom.
That's correct.
So you cannot have it both ways.
Yes.
You cannot now want to practice a custom in another country and recognize that custom there and then come here and say, well, I also want the South African civil rights and laws to apply to this case.
That's,
because it's
that's
the
exactly
same case.
What they say.
It's the same case.
Yeah. So the presiding officer is saying, in order for you to have any prima facie right in these properties that you're saying shouldn't be sold, you need to show us which of these marriage regimes is applicable to you, and you haven't yet.
Problem is, she took it.
Yes. And then he mentioned that it's like guburu is accepted as divorce, and you haven't disputed
you
that
took
you received it. So what are we doing here?
Because that, even if South Africa had to acknowledge that customarily, she has, by custom, divorced him.
Correct. Correct. And also the recognition of customary marriages says for South Africa. So marriages conducted and concluded within the bounds of South Africa.
Yeah.
So the presiding officer was saying it's not within the bounds of Southern Africa. So we can't automatically just bring it in.
Except the properties, jurisdiction and location, does that matter?
So that was part of the issues, but even with that, it still goes back to the regime of the marriage. Does
of the
marriage even exist as a result?
Gotcha.
So this, because we were not even done with our conversation last week, when I talk about interlocutory proceedings in the middle of a post-divorce, this is a clear example of such, that while we're still busy trying to sort out the divorce, there's these applications that come in between because people want to claim stuff.
Is there another mechanism she could have used to claim certain properties here?
So if she is, let's for argument's sake,
because the marriage regime now is not going to help her.
Yeah.
So is there another mechanism?
No. If the marriage doesn't exist, it doesn't exist. And if the law can't recognize it, therefore she doesn't have a locus standi or a right to bring any application, let alone the divorce itself. You have no right over anything, because if we're going to look at the laws, in which, you know, we need to get an expert who is very well versed in what the Zimbabwean laws say.
Please explain. I'm moving a little bit from the jurisdiction issue, because this has been something that I think people have discussed, but I'm not sure people fully understand the issue of fat and sit, and people making the assumptions that this fat and sit means X. Now I know you've told us that in South Africa, if Mudibedi even utters the word gitlakolona, that's it, we're done. He's married whether he likes it or not. But for those who don't have that conversation, and so much as spat and set, what does that mean?
You don't have any rights over anything.
This idea that people say, yeah, kidusile
na tremanja, common law wife,
doesn't exist.
There's no such thing. There is no such thing as a common law wife. It doesn't exist. What you can do if you choose to, you choose to live as husband and wife without being husband and wife.
Yes.
What you can,
and for a long time.
And for a long time is enter into what we call a universal partnership.
Ara and Tara. Anyway.
Then
we've sat down.
Yeah.
And we've decided we want to sit together and live together. And sometimes it's because it's convenient, whatever the case may be.
Yeah.
But then one of us decides this is it, and the one thinks, no, it's been 10 years and I was a part of this union in every other way. So I have my rights. Does that exist?
It doesn't exist.
No.
It does not exist. You cannot come and claim.
You cannot come and claim door frame owirekileng, even if the house was not yours.
Yes. You can claim things like unjustified enrichment, which is a civil suit. It's not as a consequence of marriage. Remember when you divorce.
This property, that belongs to Mudibeti. And maybe we have been living in it for 10 years.
Yes.
And there was a total renovation.
Yeah.
My money on his property.
Yes.
Because we were just happy at the time. I can't come back and claim, Khori, we spent 200,000 on it.
You
and
can.
But that's it's a different case completely.
It's not a divorce. It's not a divorce. You claim unjustified enrichment, saying, I was doing this in the hopes that we're going to live in this forever and we loved each other, even though we know we shouldn't base anything on love. So here you are breaking up with me and I am 200,000 short. I am claiming my 200,000.
Here you are breaking up with me after I went to work and you studied on my time.
Yes.
What would that be?
Also, it can be a civil suit. But it doesn't
that would
fall.
Be so tricky.
It would be.
Because I must justify now why he's a big shot now. He's a big shot because I allowed him, or at least gave him cover, a roof over his head, and paid for the bills and looked after him while he was studying.
Yeah.
Got himself better and a better profession and all of that on my watch. And now Kitleva, one lot.
Yeah. So that would be a civil suit because you do not have the rights and privileges of a spouse to claim 50% of whatever he would have gained after he got himself all better and he's now earning R1 million per month. You don't have claim over 50% of that estate. None whatsoever.
Wow. We've got Spoo who's calling from Turfontein. Hello, Spoo.
Good evening, ladies. How are you doing?
We good.
Good.
How are you? Go ahead, Spoo.
Good. Sorry to deviate a little bit from the current topic. I just want to understand, you know, when it comes to CITC, right?
To what?
CITC.
Yes, sir.
The Companies and Intellectual Property Institute, I think. I understand registering company names, right?
Yes.
And I understand also registering like intellectual property, such as if you build a software or if you do something artistic. But what I want to understand is, I think it's a patent when you use intellectual property. What I want to understand, if I've got a company, right, and that company has got a product that is unique to the company. For example, Pick and Pay has got that no-name brand under its name. How does that work in terms of protecting that product that to be unique to your company?
Okay. I'm not very well versed in copyright law, but what I do know is that if you have something that is unique to your business and you had failed to register it, any person can take it and run with it, even though it was your idea, right? Now, with that being said, when you have registered it or trademarked it to say that this particular brand, it's called Busiso Trading or whatever, and in it you will find ingredients X, Y, and Z. Any person who is going to either take the name or use the ingredients in the manner in which you had used them, you can sue them because you already have a trademark over that name or over the products that we use in that particular brand or thing that you have created. But if you fail to trademark it, you will find it being used by somebody else elsewhere, or you will find that they've taken the ingredients, even though they don't use it in the manner that you have, they will jumble it up in a manner that fits their criteria. I think we've seen that happen, for example, with regard to shoes. You will see that if a specific shoe brand makes shoes this way, another lower version of it will make it look exactly the same, but the name is different. So because shoes are so generic and they're the same everywhere, there's most people can't or won't trademark them. That's why you find knockoffs everywhere. But things as unique as specific brands that are not usual, you can be able to do that. But high botlo, it's a khemere, for example. Everybody makes khemere, but the ingredients are the same. But if yours is unique in this particular manner, then you ought to trademark it so that you can protect it, so that nobody else can use it in the manner that you like. For example, Coke, the way it's mixed, the way it's done, nobody knows the ingredients. It's kept somewhere and it's trademarked so that it cannot be used by somebody else.
Okay. All right. And lastly, if me, I've got my company, right?
Yeah.
And I collaborate with two of my associates who have their own companies, and we do an event, something like Deb and July. Deb and July is not a company. It's an event.
Yes.
Right? Does that fall under trademarking as well?
No, I would suggest that you guys do something like a joint venture. So you sign you sign a JV agreement whereby you agree that if you're going to be doing this event within Durban July, your stall will be selling X, Y, and Z, and the profits that are going to come from that, you'll be splitting them in this manner and that manner. Because it's not going to be a situation wherein it is a company that's going to run on its own going forward, but you're joining hands that every year, for example, in Durban, you do this particular thing between the three of you, and this is what it's going, that's how you will run it, and the profits will be in this manner. There's no need to trademark that. You can do it as a joint venture agreement.
Okay, but the name we give the event, we don't need to trademark that name.
If are you going to create a company separate from the original companies?
No. So it's three associates coming up with an event.
Yeah.
You know? So what I would like to know is that event, the name of the event, let's say the event is called Joburg Chill Sessions, something like that.
Yeah.
And we've got a logo for it. Do we trademark Joburg Chill Sessions?
Yes, you can. If you intend for it to be running on a yearly, monthly, weekly basis, and you know it's going to be something you're going to be using to make money off of, I would suggest that you do that.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. Thank you very much.
No problem.
Thank you, Spoo. All right, thanks. I've got a voice note as well.
This is basically a follow-up question. I'm the guy who had a butcher business, and then someone came in for investment purposes, and now he now runs the show whereby I don't get statements, bank statements and everything. And then we signed an affidavit as some sort of a contract, since at first we could not afford the contract. So fast forward, my lawyer has sent them an email, a letter via email, with regards to my complaints, and asking them to, if they can finish me with the bank statements from 2 years ago, and then has also requested that if possible they can come in and then we have a round table discussion, try and sort out our issue amicably. However, when I went to the business after the letter was sent, the guy who works there now, who is the brother to this guy who's trying to steal my business, now tells me that I'm no longer welcome in the business. In fact, I can't even buy at the shop. Is there any advice going forward? Because looks like this matter will be going to court, looking at their attitude towards the matter. But is there any advice going further?
Okay.
This case, ne?
Yeah, I remember.
It's becoming a thing, yeah.
Yeah. So if your letter, your attorneys have sent a letter, I'm assuming it was without prejudice, if they're asking for a round table so that you guys can discuss. So now that you are not even allowed
they're
on the
not
premises.
Discussing.
Then
he can't even buy
them. No. So
like,
you need to go back.
What kind of friendship is this?
There wasn't one in the first place.
Guys, the kind of friends we keep, hey?
Yeah.
I mean, that he cannot even buy.
Yeah.
So what must he do?
Go back to the attorneys, inform the attorneys, this is the situation now, and seeing as they're not allowing me even on the premises, let's proceed with the legal process. And then the best thing that they're going to do most likely is to issue out a summons with all the things that have happened, and then request one of two things. Either you be reinstated in the position that you were in before the affidavit was filled in, or two, you be compensated and bought out officially.
Yes, completely.
Remember
his issue. He wasn't legally a documented partner.
Correct.
It was a gentleman's agreement.
It's still valid.
Ah, got you.
Yeah, it's still valid.
Okay, well, that I think should work.
Yeah.
Let's take a quick break and take more of your questions on voice note on 063-688-0959, or you can call us actually on 086-000-959.
I have a question, Mo. This guy is divorced. He's been 2 years now. He's got one kid. He's got one child and another two from the ex-wife, but he still regards the other two kids as his own, though he's divorced. And whoever support that, once you are divorced, you take what is yours and then I take what is mine. Like, I'm finding it hard why he still supports those kids that are his exes. However, he took his child with him when the marriage ended. So I don't know, maybe I'm overthinking this, but yeah, I just want to find out. His biological child is one, and then the other two, the ex-wife.
Okay.
But I'm not laughing. Play that again. How long has this been? How long? 2 years.
Yes.
No, man. Don't play it again.
I have a question, Mo. This guy, he's divorced. He's been 2 years now.
Okay,
he's
thanks.
Got
2 years.
One kid. Two he's years. Got one child. And
so, guys, 2 years. So it's still fresh.
The he's issue
still,
is the
he's
other
still
kid.
Fragile. No, Ndabize. This is not about legal matters. It's still fresh. He still wants to be decent. He's still a good person. Mm-hmm. 2 years is early. No, 2 years is early. He'll come around.
I think issue here also is that he's supporting the two kids that are not biologically his.
That is the point. But remember, people who are reasonable,
yeah,
who get divorced, promise each other all sorts of reasonable things until you realize it's over. So I suspect that he's not there yet, but how do we legally make him get there quickly?
Just now in the settlement agreement that was drafted between the parties, because we don't know.
Maybe he was being a reasonable man.
Maybe he took on
he
that.
He loved those kids like his own.
Yes.
And he thought he cannot watch them go through life, you know, banali stress. And agreed to maintaining these kids.
And now it's a court order.
Yes, because he agreed.
Yeah, because he agreed. So likely that's probably
so in maybe the settlement. Maybe she needs to have a conversation.
Correct.
To ask brother, Daddy, what did you promise the courts in relation to these kids?
Yes.
Because you'd find that actually it's not that simple.
Yeah.
What would have to happen if she puts her foot down and he must now go back to the court and say, sorry, I've changed my mind?
He'd have to make an application for a variation of the court order just on the aspect
of have a reasonable reason for changing your mind? Or you just decide, no, I've grown up, I've woken up, I was just being stupid?
You know what? I would like to say you have to have a reasonable explanation because the law expects it, but the things that we see in court are sometimes
that. The point is that these are not his children.
Yeah.
And I'm about to lose my new person.
Yeah.
Because she's angry at me because kibizi. So can it be that she puts her foot down and says, Baba, go and change that court order.
Yeah.
Go and make an application.
Yes.
And just change all of this.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I'm going.
Yeah. Can be a variation.
And it doesn't need to have any other.
Oh, you need to explain to the court why you agreed in the first place and now you're varying the order.
This one wasn't there.
Yeah. That is a legit reason, but as to whether the court will accept it is something else, and especially if those kids are under the age of 18.
Not only that, they are accustomed to the lifestyle.
Yeah. Well, that one you can get away with. The age is usually the issue, or like we were talking about last time, if they're not self-sufficient.
Of course they're not self-sufficient. That's why he's paying.
Yeah. So, you know, he can bring the application to court if that was actually made an order of court. If it's not an order of court, Miguel must sit down with her man and tell her, him rather, that no, we can't keep doing this. And then if he does stop paying without notifying the other side, just now the other side makes an application for maintenance because they are used to it. That's another thing that people are not aware of. If you're going to consistently obeche your side,
even if it's not a court order.
That's correct.
Oh my word. So
that's correct.
Even if it's not a court order.
Yes, you have a claim.
And
for
you decide, I'm walking away.
Yeah.
And don't say anything.
Yeah.
They have a right to claim correct. For maintenance.
Correct. They can
literally
prove.
Yeah. Hey guys, Lutile.
Yeah.
Guys, you see, Hale Chama, be careful.
Yeah.
So if you keep sending this money,
yes,
and you just decide one day to stop, even if you never went to the court and agreed, they can come and say, claim la maintenance.
Correct.
For how long would you have to be paying this so called nice allowance?
I've seen one that's been went to court after 2 months, or so for
what?
2 months it didn't support.
Guys.
And the order wasn't granted to that amount, but it was granted. I've seen one. Yeah, 2 months.
No way.
I've seen one where in what? A deceased
two
estate.
Two months. Oh, better for 2 months. And
yes.
Then you must pay. Oh my God, guys.
Guys.
Can you hear? Guys, literally. But oh, better 2 months. One,
yeah.
Two.
Yes.
And then it's now expected after the third one.
Yes.
What?
Yeah. Yeah.
Ndata Selby.
Hello,
Ndata Selby. Hi, Tony and Pamela.
How are you, Ndata Selby? Yo, Ndata Selby. Ndata Selby, what's happened to the phone? Ndata Selby. Okay, he's there. I don't know what's happened to his phone, though. Maybe we need to... Are you there, Ndata Selby?
Hi, how are you, Pamela?
Well, it's nice hearing from you. How are you?
I'm blessed beyond measure. And Tabi Singh, how are you?
SLP, I'm good, Wena.
I'm blessed beyond measure.
Hmm.
Nah. No, I think, can I read a question say too?
Zaguburu.
Yeah, I know. It's so sucky, Tabi. Yeah, I'm jolly maintenance.
Yeah.
Yeah, but, Kumakabotor, if Kinele Musadi unele bana ba hai ke ba adopta officially then he re divorce e ka ba go tloba ke ga maintenance na.
I actually had a case on the disability so the parties by adopta mwana fresh from birth ba mo adopta and then the child turned 7. And then that was on about nope. I guess I again are divorce. Ibile mwana no kwa ha kwana na madla. I didn't want this child. And in the divorce proceedings, he challenged the issue of maintenance and said that because he is not the biological father of this child, he shouldn't be held to pay maintenance. And the court said, you adopted this person legally, and therefore all the rights and
obligations
that Section 20, 21, 19 of the Children's Act gets a house, so you have to pay maintenance. So it was a very long battle. So yes, Ndata Selby, you have to pay.
Yeah. Then there was two. The adopter mwana, lena kine leba na bata. Then, he... Reakogovala Arasia will.
Yes.
One of them adopted only the same rights, Lebanabaka.
Correct. 100%. That's why Holobosoka will release the will so that we know what to do with the estate. And even if you leave a will and your estate, a whole has got a lot of money, high insolvent, ne? After everything is paid and all of that, your beneficiaries, which are the children, have a claim over that property, even that child. Even if you have a will that was trying to disinherit that child can make an application, a maintenance against that estate and say, I am a beneficiary because I was legally adopted, therefore I have a right over this estate.
No. Okay, Tabel.
Okay,
thank you, Tante Selby. Yo. It's, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, the adoption thing is quite serious.
It's very, very serious.
You can't change your mind.
No. No.
Neither can the siblings of the child who was adopted. It's
yes.
Not up to them.
No. Not at all. So once it's sealed, it's done, you have a court order that gives you this child, that's it. You're treating that child as if you gave birth to that child, and therefore all the rights, all the obligations, responsibilities, everything that you would a child that you birthed, fall on that particular child as well.
All right. We have a call. I think we're going to quickly take the call before we go to our... it's Jabu. Jabu is in Zola. Hello, Jabu.
Hey, Sanbonan.
Yebo, putunjan.
Ngisaphilanjani?
Sasi right ba.
Hey, nehoyza into important kakhulu ebulala bobaba la.
Yalo kujolo nokubetha.
Hayi, mina ngeke mangasafuna ngisafuna. Ngamane kuyekwe man. Hawu yena mangasangifuni, ngifuna angibhejele kuzenziwa njani. The question enginayo. Nakho ke lo mntwana ngiyamthatha. Ne? Let's say angimthathi legally. Mm-hmm. Oh, let's say, let's have two scenarios.
Let's say, umntana kabani? Umntana wakasisi?
Yeah, umntana kasisi, ngiyamthatha legally.
Okay.
Ne?
Mm-hmm.
Ubabakhe wamshiya.
Okay.
Hayi, akhule kumntwana ahlakaniphi. A discover ukuthi angisungu babakhe, aye kubabakhe. Kwenziwa njani lapho? Ngikhema kubani ke wonke ama-cost? Angithi sekayasebenza, sekafundile, sekaright, sekazubabakhe. Mina-ke as a father adoptile legally yes.
Okay,
how do I claim? That's what I'm saying. I'm going to share two scenarios.
Okay, and with legally you can't claim, you took on the rights and responsibilities for this child. So even if akazo alofumana biological dad out there, you cannot claim for anything, because when you adopted this child legally, you took on hori, anything that comes with this child, you will take it upon yourself. You cannot sue the child, you can't sue the dad, you can't do anything if it's a legal adoption.
Then it's not fair. Okay.
It's not fair.
Secondly, the same child ngiyamthatha ngiyamkhulisa.
Yeah.
Ne? Uba right. Sike ke lo baba khona azothi umntanami. And bekangekho all along.
Yeah.
How do we work out leyo nto leyo? Because culturally, if Phemelo ngizokuthatha nabantwana, then ngiyabalobola labo bantwana. Ngibafake esibongweni sakithi. Culturally, your ex doesn't have any say in anything, culturally.
Yeah.
So, if the law respects our culture, that should apply, because that letter that was drafted culturally, it's a legal binding document.
You know, it would be very interesting to have a case like this go to court, actually, because most people just let it be. Hore, Ntatongwana has come, and therefore, and I've been raising this child for 20 years, but you know, here's the man saying, Mtanam, yabo. But if the stepdad who has raised this child for 20 years was to actually bring it to court and say that you do not have a legal claim or legal right on this child, it would be very interesting to see, because yes, our law does recognize customary law. It has to be incorporated. But if we don't bring matters to courts for them to actually incorporate it, because when we know it applies, that's how it is, gasetso and all of that, but in terms of the law, it hasn't been codified. That's what we call it. It hasn't been codified to make it applicable as a whole, just like in customary marriages, we all know it's codified and all of that and how it's supposed to go. So it would be interesting. But if I were to take a general look at it, that particular instance whereby you married your woman, you took the children, you raised them, and this person now wants to claim anything towards this child that you raised, you could say that if you want any claim, I will calculate to the best of my ability the amount that I have paid towards ensuring that this child is the kind of adult that you see today. And therefore, I want you to compensate me for all of that, because I did it in your absence. And then it will be interesting to see what the court can say about that. But just as an overview, I think you would have a very interesting legal claim for damages.
Yeah. No, that's true.
Yeah, okay. That would be interesting. Thank you, Jabu. Thank you, because sometimes, but we fight about these things. Sometimes yena wa no ceiling o does not acknowledge or somebody took the time. Yena linda
toa hai.
Yeah. Then they get all chummy and happy.
Correct.
And yeah. Tabo is in Alex. Hello, Tabo. Tabo, hello.
Hello, yes, I'm here.
Good evening. How are you, Tabo?
I'm good, yourself?
A good man. Go ahead.
I wanted to ask, let's say, because we usually have cases where fathers or alleged fathers just deny the pregnancy and say the child is not mine, and having to go through the paternity check process.
Mm.
So what happens if, let's say, the alleged father says the child is not mine, and then the lady insists, and then you eventually just give it. And then when you later find out that the child is not yours, do you have any legal, like a way to claim now the money that maybe you have spent on the child?
Why won't Tabi say what he wrote that? That's Google it. Tabi say what he wrote that. Tabo, thanks, man. Thank you. Yeah, no, this is if you want to get Tabi say worked out. This is the kind of stuff she likes. Thank you, Tabi Seng. Where do people find you?
We are in Randburg at 272 Oak Avenue on the ground floor, office G2. Otherwise, our cell phone, our WhatsApp line is 0796547523. Our landline is 0872658010. Our email info at dubazanaattorneys.co.za.
Thanks, everybody. We'll be back tomorrow at 8.
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.